Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And we have Brian Festa and Alan Martin with us. Brian, is this this film available on DVD?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me this because last time we were on, you told me a lot of, some of your listeners anyway, don't really have a lot of internet access. And unfortunately, at this particular juncture, it is not. So if you don't have internet access, get to a friend's house who does, and this can be watched, not only streamed on a computer, it can be actually streamed on any kind of smart TV, the Roku TV's app, because you can just download the Rumble app and actually put it on a large screen TV. If you know someone that does that, or if you know someone who's a little more tech savvy, that can do that for you. But you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your computer if you do have that. But unfortunately, the cost, like I said, it really, we really took a hit, and we're glad to take the hit. You know, I mean, this is donor money well spent to make this film. We don't feel like that was a mismanagement of funds at all, even though, you know, it did put us in a financial, you know, hole a little bit. We would do it again. We would do it all over again. But unfortunately there's no money left over to produce DVDs and ship them to people and all of that. So, if you could preferably consider, you know, making a donation to help us to at least get to the break even point, maybe that's something we could roll out in the new year is hard copies on DVD. But unfortunately, you know, the way of the world has gone, you know, I still like to have my DVDs. I like to have actual hard copy. I'm, you know, old fashioned that way, but I know the way of the world nowadays is everything's just streaming. So people aren't really doing that anymore. So we made the financial decision that, you know, we're not going to, you know, invest in that because the majority of people don't watch things that way. But please help us. Like I said, help us to get back to break even. We do have a film project fundraiser as well. But honestly, if you only have $10 or $50 or whatever it is that you're going to donate, give it to the families. Give it to the lawsuit to get justice for Trista and Ernesto Jr. and Naomi White and anyone else that was killed and or harmed by these shots. Give it to the litigation fundraiser that we have on our website rather than, just giving it to us and to the film project because, you know, God will find a way to sustain us in other ways. He'll figure it out for us. But what we need is to get justice for these families because, you know, nothing we do in court is going to bring Trista back. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's, you know, we can have the best lawyers in the world and assemble a dream team of lawyers. And at the end of the day, they're not going to have their baby girl back in their arms. All right. That's the reality. But what can we do? What can we do? Can we get justice? Can we make the people that did this have a day of reckoning in court? I mean, they'll have their day of reckoning before the Lord, but on this side of the earth, on this side of heaven, I should say, they need to be held accountable. They need to be held accountable so that they don't keep doing this and this, they don't get away with this and keep killing other children. That needs to stop. You know, that's God's work. We need to fight against this evil and we need to fight to protect the children and also the adults, anyone else who's harmed by this, but, you know, especially the children. And I say especially not because, you know, a child's life is worth more than an adult's life, but because children are more easily led astray. That's what's so diabolical about this. When I hear Alan, I've heard Alan tell the story many times, not just in the movie, but, you know, we were at the premiere and I've heard him, you know, obviously he's doing an interview today and, you know, he talks about how Trista felt pressured. Because her friends were getting it. But she wanted to go to college, wanted to go to concerts, and wanted to travel. And young people are very impressionable. You know, someone like me, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I don't care. I've always wanted to go to Italy, but guess what? I'm not going. If that's the cost of it, getting a shot, I'm not going. That's a very easy decision for me. But when I was 18, 17, that was worth more to me than my health in some ways, because that's how young people think. You know, that's just, they think they're invincible anyway. So that's so evil to be pushing this against on a young, impressionable person. And now we know the science has shown about brain development. A person's brain does not fully develop until the age of 25. They used to say 21, but now they've upped it to 25. That judgment region of your brain is not fully developed until age 25. So you're talking about Trista, age 18 or, you know, 17 and a half. Well, no, she was 18 when she got the shot, I guess. But, you know, her brain wasn't fully developed. She didn't have that full reasoning capacity and that judgment. And so that should be illegal. I mean, come on, you have to be 21 to drink alcohol, right? But you don't have to be 21 to take an injection that could cause you serious bodily harm or death. To make that decision, you don't have to be 21. You know?
Oh, no, some of those.
I'm not going to encourage drinking, but I'd much rather Trista have picked up a beer than taking the shot.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had reports. Go ahead, Alan.
You know, yeah, with a beer, you know what, you know, the risks are. I mean, the beer companies aren't lying to everybody, telling them that it's not going to get you drunk. You know, that it's not going to, you know, if you drink a lot of them and then go drive, they're not lying to you about it. I mean, this is evil. They're just lying. They're saying that it's safe and effective. She was lied to. Even if she didn't have fully developed, you know, mental function or whatever. I mean, it's horrific. It's evil. That's all I had to say.
Well, you're right about that, but it wasn't just the young people. And, you know, you had people promoting this thing that knew better. They knew better. And like I said, I was just absolutely amazed at Franklin Graham because would do this. Well, you notice after he got myocarditis, he didn't promote it anymore. He backed away from it. And I apparently hear that his niece also was affected with that myocarditis. And so here, there again, they're still pushing this. And you know, we had reports of them taking school children to get the shot. School without their parents' permission.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that was going on. And even today, with what we're doing right here now, and like I said, I'm amazed here how the Cleveland Clinic could come out with that study and tell you, if you got the shot, you're four times more likely to get COVID, and they could then, in the next breath, tell you the shots are available and encourage you to come get them. It's like, we really believe you people are stupid. We really believe you're stupid, okay?
Yep.
And, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I lost a lot of respect, whatever respect I had left for medical institutions and, you know, that... the healthcare industry, I lost a lot. I lost pretty much the rest of it. And, you know, I mean, Cleveland Clinic, that's a revered institution. People come from all over the world to be treated there, right?
Yeah.
And what they're known for actually is cardiology. And these shots cause heart damage. And so you have one of the top hospitals in the world for cardiology recommending a shot that causes heart damage? I know a lot about the Cleveland Clinic because my wife's from Cleveland, okay? So I've spent a lot of time in Cleveland, and, you know, I have a lot of people in my family have a healthcare background, so I've worked in healthcare, so I know a lot about it. It was, anyway, a really great hospital, but if they're going to be pushing the COVID shot, you know, flying in the face of all the evidence, all of the scientific evidence, like you said, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You know, any layperson can see very clearly these things are dangerous and they're not effective.
Well, you know, again, it's, you know, some years ago, back all the way back in the 80s, I would sit in the meetings with the World Health Organization, with Sierra Club, with Planned Predators, with the ACLU. They would have their meetings, and they were talking about how to depopulate the planet. And they would use different, you know, from starvation to spreading diseases to abortion, of course, and euthanasia. But one of the major things that they talked about was that was taking what were supposed to be vaccines and using them as vaccines. Remember, Hitler used the doctors, and that's what's happening today. The idea is, look, if it's, you know, this is what Bill Gates says. Murder is not murder if it's planned. As long as the process is planned out for, in other words, to eliminate millions of people, then it's morally okay. This is the mindset you have amongst these people there. And so, again, this is, you know, I want to help you guys out, see if we can help you raise some money too. So if we go up to shotdead.org, will that tell us how we can send you some money?
Yes. So if you go on that page, and, you know, just to verify, because we're always making updates, I'm looking at it right now. But, yeah, so if you go to the shotdead.org webpage and you scroll down there, you'll see, well, the first thing you'll see is to watch the film. So if you haven't watched the film, please watch the film. You know, because you need to see these stories, and I want everybody to share this and see the information before they do anything. That's first and foremost. But then, yes, there's underneath that, if you just scroll down that page on shotdead.org, it says take action, join the fight, and there's different ways you can take action. We've got a petition up there, beating censorship, defending our rights, but on the far right, it says Justice for the Families, donate to our COVID fraud fundraiser. And you'll see there it has the Pfizer logo and the picture, the vials of the vaccines. So that's where you click. But it's, yes, it's right on that page, that shotdead.org page. It's also on our homepage at wethepatriotsusa.org under the features section. If you, again, if you scroll down, please scroll. I know it's hard. Everybody says, well, why don't you put it right up front and center at the very top of the page? But not everything can go at the very top. You know, we've got the movie at the very top, people to watch the movie. So there's only so much real estate on the top of the webpage. So you do have to just scroll just a little bit, and you'll see it right there, donate to the COVID fraud fundraiser. And again, folks, I know, like you said, Pastor Ernie, some people don't like to donate online or electronically. Listen, I know my dad's the same way. He's not going to give any money online, but we have an option to write a check. And the way to do that, though, folks, if you want to write a check, is to go to our homepage or any one of our webpages, even shotdead.org, and at the bottom of the webpage is our address, our mailing address. You have it right there. The bottom, no matter what page of our website you're on, you can scroll to the bottom, and our mailing address is right there. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so for most taxpayers, are, you know, gifts are deductible to 501c3 organizations. So, you know, it's that time of year where people are thinking of end of year gifts, because you can, you know, again, write these off on your taxes. So, if you want to include us in your end of year giving plans, we would be so grateful for you to do that. If there's anyone listening, that can step forward and really, you know, help us to recuperate, some of the funds that we've lost. I mean, this project, you know, I'm not going to get into the actual, you know, nuts and bolts, but if you want to, I'm not going to do it on air, but if anyone wants to call, if anyone wants to talk to me, reach out by email, brian@wethepatriotsusa.org. We can set up a call, and I'll give you more detailed information on what this cost us, but it was a pretty significant hit. And if anyone wants to step forward and help us to recuperate, I know most people these days don't have very much to give, and that's fine. We appreciate $10, $20, $50, whatever you have. But if there's somebody out there, if there's even just one person who's listening tonight that has the ability to give in a more substantial way, we would really appreciate that, because, again, this economy and what this administration has done to ruin it and destroy it, I believe a big reason for that was to take down all of these organizations that are fighting against this evil, because we are actually having an effect. We've won major victories in court. You know, we've been to the Supreme Court of the United States. We've won against, you know, I think I may have told you last time I was on with you, we won a victory against the governor of New Mexico for taking away, you know, gun rights from her citizens. We were able to get a restraining order against her from a federal judge. We're doing things literally from coast to coast and winning victories, and they're, you know, we're squarely in their crosshairs. They're trying to take us out. And so, unfortunately, it has worked. It has worked in some respects because we've lost quite a bit of money, and people have pulled back donations and said, I just can't give anymore. And that's exactly, if you're doing that, you're playing right into their hands. And I know if it's a choice between putting food on the table and giving to charity, you're going to put food on the table. I get it. But please, you know, pray on it. If there's any way that you can find a way to give, please give. And every time I put these pleas out, you know, I think most people just figure, oh, well, somebody else will give, you know. So, you know, I might get a half a dozen or a dozen donations out of maybe 10,000 people that might hear it, because everybody's assuming that somebody else is going to write the check, somebody else is going to give. But please don't assume that. And please do everything you can to support us, because we really do need your support. And pray for us. And beyond the money, if you are in a situation that you can't even give a dollar, please, please, if you're hearing this, I'm going to ask you one thing. Before you turn out the light tonight, just say a prayer to God for us and for our organization, because I believe in the power of prayer. You know, my business partner, Dawn Jolly, she's a woman of faith as well, and believes strongly in the power of prayer. And we need prayer warriors, you know, praying over our organization and praying to not only sustain us, but for us to thrive so that we can take on these tyrants who are really just literally killing us, as we heard from Alan. I mean, literally killing our children. We need to fight back against that. You know, pro-life movement, everybody's against, you know, abortion. I'm staunchly against abortion, but it doesn't end at birth, folks. Pro-life is protecting life from conception to natural death. And Trista Martin was killed by the United States government and the pharmaceutical industry.
Absolutely. And Brian, we're with you on this here. In fact, Joe, what do you think about leading the nation, all the folks out there, in a prayer for the people to support Brian and Brian at wethepatriot.org or Shot Dead, that ministry to help them raise the money? I know we're like you. We're in a battle, a real battle out there. And for believe me, they've done everything they could to try to get us off the air. We're still here by God's grace, but we just had probably one of our toughest pledge weeks that I can remember this past week. And I know that the economy is not good out there, but God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So, Joe, would you lead them in a prayer? And folks out there all over where you're at, listen, they need prayer. God answers prayer, you know, if you believe in that. So join in with Joe as he's praying tonight. Go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know what we've been doing on this program. You know that the Pastor and I and all the members of the ministry have been trying to fight the good fight of faith, and here we have others who are joining, the members of WeThePatriots.org and the sponsors of the movie Shot Dead. And Lord, we ask you to help touch the hearts and minds of the people out there, that they would realize they can't outgive you, that if they give, that you will see that they're replenished. And sometimes giving is an act of faith, and I see faith falling on the wayside. So I'm asking those out there to prayerfully consider changing their ways, changing their thinking. And now is going to be a time where donating to the right causes is going to be more important than ever. Everyone in the world needs money, but too many organizations have made a living, gotten rich. Many of the old standbys, it's money and power. These men I hear from the heart. They're not growing rich. They're not pastoring in this ministry. They're not taking money. They're not living off of this. And we would just ask all the listeners out there, those who can, to touch, look at your hearts, prayerfully consider supporting, donating, and that, Lord, that you would just reach out all over this country, help people join the battle, run to the fight, start joining organizations, backing and doing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Would you guys want to take some calls, Brian?
Sure, I'll stay on the line.
All righty. So we're going to open the phone lines now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you'd like to call in with a comment to Brian or Alan, give us a call. Come on in, 888-677-9673. Maybe you have a similar situation. I know we've had a number of situations here where people have been killed. You know, they've been killed in the hospitals, okay? We had some cases where people were told not to give them remdesivir. Absolutely do not, and they did anyhow, and killed the patients off. This is about depopulating the planet, and you're right. And I'm going to tell you, you're right, boy. More medical doctors, more MDs have lost so much credibility over this, and they know it. And they will tell you how it hurts, that the fact that they have lost from the confidence, they've lost the confidence that their patients had in them, and how that hurts. But Pfizer is getting rich, and I was just watching tonight their, again, on the news, Spectrum One News promoting and pushing the kill shots, even though that people are dying from these things all over the country, all over the world. They're dying from these things, and yet they keep pushing them and promoting them. And so now some of the people, you have some real experts in that film that you made. Tell us about some of the experts that were there.
Well, I mean, Dr. Peter McCullough is a world-renowned cardiologist, practiced for, I think, 40 or 40-plus years in Dallas, Texas, is still a practicing cardiologist. And, of course, now that he's spoken out about the COVID shots, he's dismissed by the, you know, far left as a quack. But prior to that, you know, board-certified, award-winning, renowned cardiologist. But all of a sudden, if he questions something, if he questions vaccines, that makes him a quack. But he speaks very intelligently on the damage that this shot can do to the heart. And in Trista's case and in Ernesto's case, he talks at some length about that in the film and gives his breakdown from a medical perspective. We didn't want this to be a medical or science film. The focus was on the families and the personal stories of loss, but we felt, you know, we did have to include some of that so that it wouldn't, because otherwise people just look at it and say, well, these parents just think it was the shots. It really wasn't the shots. You know, it doesn't have credibility unless you have someone with some expertise speaking about it. And I understand that, you know, as a lawyer myself, when you go into court, you do have to bring expert witnesses to the stand, right? And so that's what we do in this film, is we bring expert witnesses. Dr. James Thorpe, 44 years of practice as an OBGYN, maternal fetal medicine doctor, and has treated thousands upon thousands of patients. Even just within the last 3 years during COVID, has treated several thousand patients, and he talks about what he's seen in the rise of fetal, they call them fetal demises, but let's use the real language, babies dying. He's seen babies dying left and right in disproportionate numbers compared to, you know, his prior career. He has to conclude that it was from the COVID shot, because actually he didn't see it in 2020 during the height of COVID, when COVID was going through the population. He saw it after the shots were rolled out. That's when he saw all these babies dying. And he talks at length about that. So, yes, we do have doctors. We also have a whistleblower nurse who's a postpartum nurse who works at a hospital in Fresno, California, and she talks about the numbers of baby deaths that she's seen in her hospital
and how it just exploded after the shots were rolled out and they were recommended for pregnant women. Now, when is an experimental, as they call it, shot that hasn't been tested on pregnant women? Because remember, pregnant women were not included in any clinical trial. When has a drug or any kind of substance that's ever been tested on pregnant women been universally recommended for pregnant women? Never. It's never happened, and yet it was with this shot, because this shot was a one-size-fits-all. Everyone needs to get it. We don't care about your health history. We don't care about your age. We don't care about your relative risk. Everybody just needs to get this in their arm. That sounds a lot like genocide to me. That sounds a lot like the Holocaust to me. And I'm going to get beat up for using those words, but, you know, to anyone who wants to come at me for using those words, go right ahead, because this shot is going to unleash and is continuing to unleash more of a genocide than any genocide that we've seen in the history of mankind, okay? Because what you're going to see, not just now, but over the next several years, is not just going to be thousands dying. It's not just going to be, you know, 1 million, 2 million. You're going to see tens of millions or more dying from this shot worldwide, I believe. I believe firmly it's going to outpace any kind of genocide that's ever been, you know, forced upon a people by any dictator, any evil tyrant in the history of the world. And that sounds like it's overstating it, but when you continue to see these deaths, you continue to see, you know, fine, come at me. You know, sit down with Alan Martin and tell him, okay, that that this wasn't that bad, that we're making this up, that these shots don't really kill people. Or sit down with Ernest Ramirez, who lost his 16-year-old son 5 days after getting the Pfizer shot, when he was running with his friends across a parking lot to go play ball with them and collapsed and died at 16 years old with no pre-existing health conditions 5 days after receiving the shot. Tell me that the shot didn't kill him, all right? Tell him the shot didn't kill him. I dare any one of you to do that, okay? So if you're going to suggest that because I'm calling this a genocide or a Holocaust, that I'm using inflammatory language or, you know, somehow that's, you know, dishonoring people that have died in history, it's not. You know what?
It's called telling the truth. You're telling the truth. That's what we do here.
Telling the truth, and you're the evil one. If you're saying that, you're the evil one. You have to account. You want to talk about evil? If you're pushing your narrative and refusing to admit that these children died, then what you're doing is actively participating. You're actively complicit in their death. You're a murderer. If you don't believe these shots kill children, you are a murderer. And if you continue to spread that lie and tell children to get this, you are a murderer. All right? You want to talk about Hitler? You're Hitler if you do that.
Well, okay? If you're a Democrat today.
Quote me USA Today. Quote me New York Times. Because I'm done. Pastor Ernie, I've had it. You know what? I'm angry. And this is a holy anger. This is a righteous anger.
Right. That's what the Bible says. Be angry and sin not. But you see, the mindset amongst them out there is, as long as somebody's making enough money, Mr. Fauci's getting rich, Pfizer's getting rich, those people, you know, at the so-called talking heads, news anchors at NBC, ABC, CBS that promote this, you know, they justify it in the fact that somebody's making money off it. That's with abortion, that's with this, that's with euthanasia. And that's also, I mean, the very same people that are promoting issue one are the same people behind the child sex trafficking. That's the reality. In fact, with that, hang tight. We'll be back right after this. And then, Jack, you're up right after this. Go ahead and take her away take us over to Jan Porter.
Remember learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, Issue 1 is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, Issue 1 was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But Issue 1 violates our state and federal constitutional right to life. which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear. The jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionist is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
All righty, we are back. Let's take some calls. Let's go out to San Diego. And, Jack, you're in the air.
Well, you know, when I first read what I'm about to tell you, it really upset me. And I'm glad I have this opportunity to pass it on to your guest. What I'm about to tell you is Shades of Joseph Mengele. So I'm calling you from San Diego, California. We have a weekly magazine that is free. It's called The Reader. And there is a research lab that places ads in the Reader. They have three in the issue dated the 16th of this month. Two of them are directed at adults. But let me read you this one. Vaccine trials for children. Kids bring home all kinds of germs and illnesses. A vaccine trial may help protect them. We have vaccine research studies for volunteers 6 months and older. Participants can receive up to $2,800 in compensation. And it's called the California Research Foundation. It gives their address and their phone number. So I called them today, and I asked them a couple of questions. And the first one was, what type of technology does your vaccines employ? And they said, oh, mRNA, which is messenger RNA. And so I asked them, I said, how can a child 6 months old, how can they volunteer for your program? And then they hung up on me. So here's a situation where you're going to have some parents pimping out your kids for the $2,800. But what happened to the laws concerning consent? Children can't consent to this. This is highly dangerous research. You don't know what they're going to be given in these blind studies. Some will get the vaccine. Some won't. Some they're experimental. Some may get deadly sick. And all this for $2,800 and something which legally, in my opinion, children can't volunteer for because they're not of the age of consent.
Yeah, you know, I know that. We've had the same problem for years, you know, within the child-killing industry, the abortion industry, where they were taking children, girls, young girls from school without their parents, you know, even knowing about it. And, again, it's like the Democrats believe as long as death, they'll justify anything, as long as somebody gets paid money and somebody dies. And that's just the way it is out there today.
Disturbing because, you know, first they ignored the laws concerning consent of minors. when it comes to transgendering. And now they're going to be ignoring the consent laws for children on research. They call them volunteers for these vaccines that have so many side effects. And obviously, the child isn't going to get the $2,800. The parents are. Who is defending the children?
Well, that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we've been doing for 50 years.
Yeah, well, I was curious what your guest, if he has knowledge of this and what his opinion is.
Go ahead. Brian?
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I absolutely think that, listen, we're at a time in this country where everything that we knew to be good and right and true, everything we knew about, or we thought we knew about justice, has been turned on its head. And I mean, it's not just the vaccine issue. It's transgender cult. You're talking about minors being able to get consent, being able to do things without parental consent. I mean, you see it there, perhaps highlighted more grossly, is the term I'll use, more starkly than anywhere else, is where, you know, children can harm themselves without parental consent, and you're doing the same thing. We don't have informed consent in medicine anymore. We need to challenge this all over the country and, you know, protect our children. I mean, I'm not sure taking it by a state-by-state approach is the way to go here. Whether we start in California or anywhere else, that's going to take an incredibly long time. And I don't believe that it's going to hold the people accountable who are really responsible for doing this, and that's the federal government and the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, I think the part that disturbs me is the $2,800 being offered for participation. So I could see parents giving consent for their children to participate in this, either unwittingly or wittingly, to get the $2,800. I don't know if that's legal. In your opinion, can a parent give consent for their children to be used as guinea pigs in a vaccine trial, which puts them at grave risk and danger?
Well, I mean, people will always bring up the Nuremberg Code with this, right? Human experimentation. Unfortunately, that's not U.S. law. That's not a treaty that the U.S. signed on to. A lot of people think that it is U.S. law. It's not. Parents, I brought up the transgender issue because, look, courts have upheld the rights of parents to gender transition their children, to have life-altering surgery, to cut off parts of their body. If that's not experimentation, what is? That's a permanent disfiguration of a child, and the courts have said that's perfectly legal. So, in this climate, in a state like California or New York, would a legal challenge be successful? I don't think so.
Were you aware that these research centers are offering the money for children to so-called volunteer for these experimental studies using the mRNA technology?
No, I hadn't heard about the $2,800 incentive. This is the first I'm hearing about that, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, remember, this is the California Research Foundation based in San Diego. So I'm just glad I had an opportunity to pass this on to you, because I don't think we can tolerate this in our society. You can't use children as guinea pigs.
All right, Jack, try to send some of that information to shotdead.org, to go to the website shotdead.org, or Brian at
email
We the Patriot.
Yeah,
go ahead, Brian.
Email us. It's info@wethepatriotsusa.org. I'd be interested to look more into that and to research that and see if there's anything we can do legally. It's hard when you're talking about minors. It's one thing, if a school or something, like a school-based health clinic, is trying to impose something on a child and the parent objects, those are much easier cases. Those are cases we can much more easily win when the parent's going along with it.
The parent has legal custody and guardianship over the child, especially in a state like California. I don't think, I mean, who would even be the plaintiff, right? If the parent agrees to it, I mean, it would have to be a criminal prosecution, and I don't see any DA in California going after a parent for doing that.
All righty. Let's go out to New York. Now let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. This is probably the most heinous crime in the history of mankind since the flood and before the flood, in my opinion. Psalm 46, it talks about the Lord burning the chariots and the fire. And this is a chariot. This is a weapon of war. But some of my questions, basically one of the things I recently heard was Dr. Malone, who was the main discoverer of the messenger RNA. He had said that at that point, it would just go through your system in about several hours and dissipate. And they discovered something to keep recycling it. And what's happening is these spike proteins are making the body see the organs as a foreign body, as if you had a transplanted organ, and it eventually starts attacking your own organs with the immune system. And then you have the issue of added graphene oxide and other nanoparticles to connect people to the cloud, which is killing people and a heinous crime. And I do think the consequences of this will be the end of America. I think so many people, say, from the army are going to be dead that China's just going to walk in here and take over the place. But my question would also be, how did this disseminate that so many people in the media, so many people in healthcare are they dumbed down or do they know this, and are they just so depraved? Are these people taking drugs themselves, these doctors that they and medical personnel that they've turned into turncoat killers and Dr. Mangalev or Dr. Moreau killers?
Do you want to answer that? Go ahead, Brian.
You know, I think so many of them are just afraid. I think it's cowardice because they don't want to lose their licenses. I mean, they've gone after, they stripped Dr. McCullough of his board certification, like I said, after four decades, and with no evidence of any wrongdoing, simply because he questioned the shot. They try to take these doctors' licenses away. And, you know, I've heard doctors say, listen, I don't want to do this because then if I lose my license, I can't help anyone. I can't help any child. I can't save any lives. If I lose my license, what good am I? I'm not a doctor anymore. And so now that to me, on the one hand, I can understand it from a purely career standpoint. On the other hand, that's a cop-out because, listen, you know, all of us who have to stand in truth and justice and be on the front lines are putting our necks on the line, are taking a risk. You don't think I'm risking my law license by speaking out like this against this? You don't think I've got a big bullseye on my back? Of course I do. Do I care? No, because I answer to God. I answer to God's law first before man's law, okay? When I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, I didn't take an oath that I would uphold the law of man above the law of God, because I wouldn't have taken that oath. You know, so at the end of the day, I have a higher authority than any judge to answer to. And so I think because we've become such a godless society, I think that's what it is. I don't think they're necessarily trying to be evil. I think it's just because they don't place God above all else in their lives. God is not their supreme authority. Some of them, a lot of doctors don't even believe in God. And aren't practicing Christians or anything. So I think because they don't have God in their lives, I'm speculating, that's why they've been able to do this, because they don't have that moral compass that, you know, comes from a higher power when you follow a higher power. I mean, that's not to say the people that are atheists are all, you know, trying to hurt people and don't care and have no morality, but it's just that when you don't have God, when you don't have Jesus at the center of your life, you're not the same. You don't live your life according to the same principles as the rest of us who are trying to live a Christian life and trying to follow Christ and his example do. So I think a lot of it is fear, which of course comes from the enemy. I think so many people are just afraid that, you know, they're going to be ostracized. They're going to lose. I mean, these doctors, worked for years to become a doctor. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 8 years of schooling and then another 4 years of residency. You're talking about 12 years just to be able to start your career. And then you go on and have a career for a couple of decades after that. They're going to give all of that up just to speak out against a shot. They're not. And even though, and a lot of them refuse to look at the evidence, because if they don't look at it, they can be an ostrich with their head in their sand. They don't look at the evidence that it's harming children. They say, oh, nope, you conspiracy theorists, I'm just not going to watch that. Because if they don't watch it, if they never heard it, then they can, you know, it's almost like plausible deniability. They can look themselves in the mirror and say, I've never seen any evidence that it's harmed children. Well, yeah, you never saw it because you refused to look at it. But that's, I think, how they sleep at night. I mean, I'm just guessing because I don't really know how they sleep at night, but that's my best guess.
All right, that's a very good guess. Thank you for calling, Cliff. We're running out of time for tonight. So now we come to a very, very important part of this radio program, and the most important part. And what we need to do is, you know, we've got to hold our nation up in prayer. We really do, because we, America, is standing in the shadow of a holy God and a just God, and a holy and a just God must judge sin. And this is why, folks out there, for 50 years, we've been asking you to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We warned over and over and over again that what was coming. But, you know, what's happened, Brian and Alan, that for so long, the very few of us had to do all of the work for the many. The many decided, well, somebody else will do it for us. And the few of us were, for all of these years, running to the battle. And, of course, no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits of churches there. That's where it was supposed to start. Judgment began there. The pastors were to be bold and brave, and the pastors were to lead the people out against this. They should have gone against that in 1962 when that so-called court declared itself to be God and expelled God from the public schools. The pastors should have marched on Washington, D.C. and put that court on trial for treason. The pastors failed God and they failed the people. And in 73, the same thing, even worse, when that court that was supreme only in this rebellion against God declared God dead and decided that they could, that you could go ahead and transgress the dominion of God, what God had made unlawful, the destruction of his very image. And when he gave us the 5 points of divine human government, the most important point, number three, was the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. That's the entire purpose. And the pastors failed. The pastors failed. They should have marched on. There should have been 50,000 of them marching on Washington, D.C. and putting that corrupt court on trial for treason against God and country, but they failed. Now I'm seeing that there's more and more of them are starting to realize how late it is. And more of them know, and they realize we're standing in the shadow of a holy and a just God. And so more and more of them now, especially here in Ohio with this issue one, it's got their attention, but time is running out, and we either run to this battle. You got two options. One, run to the battle, or two, wish that you had, because everybody out there listening to me is going to die one day. Everybody's going to die, okay? And when that happens, there's no in-between. God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear. It's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment, and those people will end up in heaven or hell. That will happen. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can have any opinion you want, and you can write books on it. But the reality is found here in God's Word that's got a 100% perfect, absolute perfect record, okay, of coming to pass the prophecies in this book. And when God says you're going to go to heaven or hell, folks, you're going to go to heaven or hell when you die. So there's a whole lot of people. In fact, right now, today, there are no unbelievers, not one, in either heaven or hell. Whether they're in heaven, they believe in eternal life. They believe in glory. When they're in hell, they believe in torment, but they all believe. And you're going to be one of those believers. And so, here's what you got to do. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. Pray to the Father. Pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And then recognize the fact that Christ died a substitutionary death. He took your place and my place upon that cross. Why did he do it? Because he was the only one that could fill the bill. It had to be a totally innocent, sinless individual to do this. Only one fit that, and that was the Lord Jesus himself. Had he decided not to, we'd all be in a world of hurt. But he took your place and my place upon that cross. And folks, he suffered like no man had ever suffered. We can't even begin to know what it's like to take the sins of the world upon you. But he did. And so you need to ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, completely and totally. Folks, without any reservations at all, you need to do that. Recognize the fact, and you have to be sorry that your sins called him to suffer the way he suffered. He suffered horribly, and it was your sins and mine that caused that. And if you'll do that, you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer. Listen, you've got God's word on this, what I'm telling you. And you will be on the road of eternal life. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So, listen, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. Don't think, well, you know, I remember hearing young people say, I'm going to party hardy. When I get old like you preach, then I'll get religion. And like I said, a whole lot of you young people, you're not going to get old. Just go to Chicago on a Saturday night and you'll see. So anyhow, with that, Brian, you and Ellen, you've got about 30 seconds apiece for closing comments.
Well, I'll just say again, anyone that wants to support us, go to WeThePatriotsUSA.org, go to ShotDead.org to watch the film and to support us there in our litigation to get justice for these families. Alan, I'll let you have the last word.
First of all, I want to thank Brian. I mean, he works so hard. It's kind of a thankless job. And he does this all the time to help these families like mine, and to get this out there and to warn people and bring in the litigation against, you know, the evil in this world. He's a superhero, and we love you, Brian.
Well, Brian, count us in with that, too. Count us in.
Glory to God.
Amen. All righty.
Amen.
And so with that, I also wanted to say very quickly that I think we're going to be showing this film. I believe we're going to be showing it in church, Shot Dead, this coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 4 p.m., as we always have in that class, the Bible and current events. So with that,
wonderful.
Yeah, that would be great. With that, we're running out of time. And so as we always say at this time, we say good night.
Good night.
We say, God bless.
Bless.
And then we always say, and always.
Always.
And I do mean always. Ready? Keep.
Fighting.
The fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.